KPX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. The holiday travel rush has begun.
The TSA says they'll screen 18.3 million people starting on Tuesday. That's the projected get-out day, and 50,000 flights will take off. The agency is also urging travelers to brush up on the rules before they go, so your foods like gravy, cranberry sauce, wine, jams, all of that must be checked if it's more than 3.4 ounces.
ABC's Morgan Norwood, President-elect Trump naming key members of his new administration at a breakneck pace. 20 key posts already. Democrats in the Senate troubled that the Trump Transition Committee has not yet agreed to FBI background checks of the president-elect's picks. A higher than usual number of rocket attacks from Hezbollah into Israel today. At least 6 people injured. This on the heels of Saturday's Israeli strike in central Beirut, which killed 20 and injured 66 people. Russia is granting debt forgiveness to Army recruits to bolster its ranks in Ukraine, where nearly 3 years of war have strained resources and available personnel. This is ABC News. It's time for gathering family and friends together. ABC News medical correspondent Dr. Darian Sutton, how to stay healthy this Thanksgiving and the rest of the holiday season.
Making sure that especially those who are high risk are up to date on flu, COVID vaccines. RSV, which is rising, has a vaccine that's available over the age of 75. And we also recommend, for example, for pregnant mothers in their third trimester, especially if your baby is going to be born into the viral season. And then making sure you're grabbing that mask and grabbing those surveillance tests. And I always say before you meet during Thanksgiving, prepare for the most vulnerable person, and that will help you keep you safe.
World leaders at the United Nations Climate Conference in Azerbaijan announcing a major agreement on Saturday. The New Deal calls for wealthy countries to contribute $300 billion annually to help developing nations deal with the effects of climate change. The deal, known as the Climate Cash Agreement, was met with a standing ovation. President Biden also praising the deal, saying the agreement provides a base on which to build. Dave Packer, ABC News.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
The Dom Salvia Show.
Harvey Kay, a professor emeritus of democracy at the University of Wisconsin, Green Bay. Harvey, I know you're the big FDR expert.
1934, he decided that the inequality and the wealth accumulated at the top was a threat not only to the American economy, but also to the American democratic spirit, American democratic life.
Sounds like history's repeating itself.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Wisconsinites overwhelmingly voted yes on a record number of school funding measures, according to the Wisconsin Policy Forum. That means people across the state are willing to increase their own taxes to fund their schools. Here's Judith Ruiz Branch.
Voters favored a record number, 169 referendums, authorizing a record total of $4.4 billion in new funding for 145 districts. Denise Gomer-Hutchison with the Wisconsin Public Education Network says districts are being forced to take their needs to the ballot box to fund gaps between prioritizing students and overdue bills.
The first responsibility of our public schools across the state is to educate children and to take care of the kids and the families that they serve every single day. So that means any available funds that public schools have, they put towards educating children. And so if that means a boiler has to be patched rather than replaced, that's what they're going to do.
Almost half of the state's 421 school districts passed a referendum in April or November. Hutchison blames the state for not adequately funding school priorities, from building maintenance to student mental health services. Regardless of whether taxpayers have children in public schools, she says the focus should be on providing every Wisconsin student with a quality education.
I want their experience in public schools to be as awesome as my 25 and 26-year-olds were.
The study found factors like inflation outpacing the state allocated per student revenue limits, the loss of pandemic aid, and staff competition in tight labor markets, all factors that contributed to the record number of referendums. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Plenty of clouds around the area today with highs reaching the upper 40s, a light southeast wind 5 to 10. Mostly cloudy skies tonight as lows drop to the upper 30s to near 40 degrees. A little rain on Monday, highs in the mid 40s. Right now it's 40.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us on Monday. We'll take a look back at what made news over the weekend and get you ready for Thanksgiving week. Tourist travel tips. Join us then.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays noon till 2.
A voice for Madison. Real news and great conversation. 92.7 WMDX.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Hey, folks, welcome to the Cripes Cast. We are powered by Everlight Solar. Here's this week's episode. Folks, this week I am talking with comedian Yiannis Pappas. You know him from the History Hyenas podcast. You know him from the Yiannis Pappas Hour. He's got several specials out. You can find those on YouTube. He is hilarious. The specials, by the way, are Mom Love, Blowing the Light, and Let Me Be Yiannis. Also his half-hour comedy special on Comedy Central, which is where I first saw him. But super fun dude. Great to have him on. Chit-chat about comedy. And yeah, it was a fun conversation. So that's coming up in just a moment. And also, I should mention, Yas is going to be in Milwaukee at the Improv December 6th and 7th. You can see him. Get your tickets now. And before we get to my conversation with him, we are still raising money for Doctors Without Borders. We've got their link in the show notes. You can check them out, doctorswithoutborders.com or at Doctors Without Borders. And with that, ladies and gentlemen, here is my conversation with Yiannis Pappas.
Hello.
How's it going?
Good. How you doing?
Good. Thanks for doing this. I appreciate you.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Where are you at right now?
I'm at my podcast studio.
Nice. Where's that at?
It's New York City.
Oh, got it. That's fun. How's New York these days?
I tell you, it's been, you know, in the 60s every day. I don't know what it's up there. Like, what's the weather been there?
Weather here in Wisconsin is like 55. It's crazy.
It's crazy.
I was just in Atlanta. It was colder in Atlanta than it was in Wisconsin.
That's crazy. Yeah. It's been, today's 63 degrees in New York and it's just been 60 every day and sunny. We actually have a drought. Like we haven't had rain in forever. And it's just been nuts. It's been so warm. And I've been enjoying that, but also, you know, going like, what's going on with this climate? We haven't had a winter in 3 years. Like we barely had a winter in 3 years.
I know. I mean, at some point you gotta be like, are we ever going to do anything about this or are we just going to just business as usual? You know what I mean? Some point it's, you know, I feel like people are like, ignore the climate. It's better for the economy. Ignore the climate. It's better for the economy. But now, the whole economy is just going to get flipped on its head. And then it's going to be like, all right, now we should probably fix the environment when it's kind of too late. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, you got to get people believing in it first. I think that some Exxon, I think the CEO of Exxon finally said, like, we got to do something about it. So I think it maybe it was him or one other gas company was like, we got to do something about this. And I was like, that is progress at least.
Yeah.
That's progress.
It's progress. Even though those dudes like knew about it in the 70s and like actively went against it, you know, for decades. That's crazy. I don't know. Yeah. You would think that they knew that this was going to happen, but they were like, let's just push it off, keep making a lot of money. And then by the time it's happening, then maybe we'll figure it out then. That's just how we are as people, which is unfortunate.
That's how we are as Americans too, especially just greedy little pigs. We're greedy little pigs. And yeah, he probably looked at his granddaughter one day and said, All right.
Yeah.
Finally. I want her to live. All right. Okay. You twisted my arm. It's 63 degrees in New York City. It snowed once in the past 3 years. Spain is, they got more rainfall. And, you know, it's funny too, when you talk to someone, you know, cause I'm not a scientist and none of us are scientists except for like 0.00001% of us. And those are the ones saying, hey, there's a problem. And then you talk to anyone else and you go like, yeah, you see what happened in Spain where they got more rainfall in a couple hours than they do every year. And they go, yeah. And you go, isn't that climate change? And they go, how's that global warming? You're going like, well, I think the atmosphere heats up, it heats up the ocean and the storms pull more moisture from the atmosphere and it makes the storm more intense. And they just go, what? It's go, yeah. Yeah. What? Because you don't know. So just let someone, can we just let someone know something that we don't know? Like, you know, we've gotten to this era now where it's like, yeah, you don't study, you don't put thermometers in the ocean every day and didn't get a degree in this. Can we just let that guy do his job without you going and reading whatever paper you're reading that says it's not real? You know, just let people do their freaking job. I don't understand what the conspiracy theory would be about the environment.
Oh, I do, dude. I was up north, like, and they're like northern Wisconsin, whole economy in the winter depends on snowmobiling. Zero snow last year in some of these places. Places are going out of business. If there's one more year without snow, it's not going to be good for a bunch of these bars. Because that's like the sport of snowmobiling. You just drive this motorized death machine to a bunch of bars. I mean, snowmobiling's a blast, but the way some people do it, I'm like, oh God, I don't know. Watch out for deer, my guy. But I was telling somebody, they were bringing it up and I was like, yeah, it's climate change. It's crazy. And they're like, I don't know about that. I think the sun is increasing its intensity and there's nothing we could do about this. And I was like, based off of what, Mike? How can you believe that, but not the thing that has been, you know, repeatedly scientifically backed up for decades? It goes into like, we as people, we just, I read this, this article that was talking about the psychology behind it. And it's basically like, facts do not help people change opinions. It was this thing of like, it's a feeling or an energy that helps people change opinions. And I was like, oh my God, we are screwed. You know,
that makes sense. When you think about it, that really makes sense. I think that's why music and comedy can be powerful, because you make someone feel something with your point. You can sort of disarm them from that part of their brain that, you know, has faith over facts, and you can slip a truth in there, you know, while you make them feel something, make them laugh. And same with music, you can make them feel good and you can say something. I guess that's why art's powerful.
Yeah. It's kind of like the Trojan horse for truth at its best, maybe. You know?
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. Yeah.
At its worst, it's just a really bad joke, you know?
Yeah, but even worse, or just mean. It's, comedy's gotten a little mean. It's the worst it could get. Yeah, like anything, humans, whatever great thing humans have, they will use it to be bad. They will go too far. It's just what we do.
Do you think that's like... do you think human nature at its best, so like there's human nature at its best, human nature at its worst? Do you think it's just like we are sort of like a bunch of humans kind of more at our worst than we are at our best? But if we transferred to kind of being at our best, we could do it. We could like figure it out, you know?
I think we could. I think the way I view it, and I've been thinking about this a lot recently, is I feel like the Industrial Revolution happened and we still had these sort of, hunter-gatherer, then sort of agrarian kind of survival of the fittest brains. And we got all these machines and weapons, and we still were, protecting our territory like animals. And so we saw what we did with that. And we did some great things, like producing things quicker and all that. But then we had these massive wars with these new machines because we have these antiquated brains. And now, you know, that was the last big revolution. And then now we have the tech revolution, which is tantamount to the industrial revolution and how much of a paradigm shift it's caused and how revolutionary it is. And our brains are just behind. We're not evolved to deal with all this information and all this communication and be aware of all this news. And we're seeing the effect of that, you know, kids having mental health problems, people believing 100 different things at the same time, just people using it for bad. It's too much. And we're not equipped with it to deal with it yet. So I think the only hope we have is really looking inward. Like, people got to look inward and sort of figure themselves out, you know, with, you know, I don't want to say therapy, but that's one of the things, or whatever it is, just start figuring out who they are, what their subconscious motivations are, because now we have the, leisure to do it. Nobody's working like our grandparents used to work. So now it's time, like, all right, how do I become like a more evolved human being and a more caring, empathetic human being? Why do I do what I do? Who am I? What's going on? And just get control of their brains and subconscious motivations and insecurities and everything. Because that's where it all comes from. I mean, you know, Hitler probably did what he did because he had some issue that was like subconscious. And then look at what happens. I'm just using him as an example. It's always about your mommy or your daddy or something. And then you go off and then you're probably on your deathbed and you're like, oh, God, I did all that just because my mom said that in 1912.
Right.
What a waste.
Yeah. No, it's crazy how many people we will just really hurt because we are that hurt, you know. Hurt people. I don't know, that's a meme.
It's so true. I know it's a cliche, but it's true. It's a projection, you know. You want other people to feel what you feel, and so you lash out and you don't even know what you're doing and you don't know why. And you know, that's something I think if humans worked on, but I don't know if that could happen, because that would take everybody individually doing that, or that becoming part of the culture where we encourage that. And so maybe it can happen. I mean, maybe it will, because everything else has been done. I mean, you know, this country was founded on looting, right? Our grandparents and parents and great grandparents came here to loot. They came here to get whatever they were like, all right, that place has riches over there. We're coming there to loot it. Yeah. And get all the money. So right. Everyone came over here. They looted. They just got money. And, you know, that's what this country was built on, just money. And greed and selfishness. And we've done that. I think people are a little tired of that. Commercialization, over-commercialization. We're kind of done with that. Everyone still feels hollow. Now they got the internet. They can get food delivered to their house without moving a finger, a fully cooked meal. That still makes us feel empty. You rich people sit in their mansions. They're still empty. So maybe people are going to start feeling like, hey, maybe these Eastern Hemisphere people, you know, they had something, they knew something when they started meditating and doing mindfulness and all this stuff. And maybe we need to start incorporating a little bit of that into our greedy little American minds.
I think we're going to see it, man, because like with the, you know, you got all the AI stuff and that's like replacing a bunch of jobs. And if you listen to Elon Musk talk or whatever, he's saying like in 20 years, something like that. First of all, there's going to be more robots than humans. But then on top of that, all of our jobs, he said, like, we're not even going to have to work. And then whoever was interviewing was like, well, what are they going to do? Like, so many people get their like worth or whatever from working. And he was like, yeah, that's kind of a 20-year problem. I was like, well, why? Wait, can we back up? Like, why are we even doing this? Because like the AI stuff, there's so much damage to the environment, you know, like the amount of fossil fuels it takes. And then it's also killing jobs. So it's like, it seems like a good solution would just be, let's dial that back. Or if we're going to do the AI thing, let's do it to exclusively figure out the health stuff and the environment stuff. And then let people make their own toast, you know, but I don't know.
No, it's that I don't think anyone has an answer to that. That is good. And it's scary when you hear them go like, yeah, this is going to be a problem. And I don't know. And everyone just goes, and I don't know. Yeah, I don't know what people are going to do. It's like, yeah, it's going to be a problem. Nobody's going to. Now they got like self-driving cars already. They're doing the self-driving taxis. Once they do the self-driving trucks, they're already using machines in China at the docks. You know, that's a big issue here that the union's fighting against is using, you know, technology instead of dock workers. You're like, what are all those guys going to do? I mean, what's everyone going to do? You know, you can go to ChatGPT and draft up a legal document. Well, what are they going to, what are lawyers going to do? You know, it's just this stuff that's going to get better. And then you're going like, you know, if computers are doing everything, what are we going to do? Are we just going to sit around and meditate? Are we just going to sell pics of our feet on OnlyFans and do podcasts? I mean, that, maybe we're just all going to become content creators and just create content for each other. I don't know. Porn and content. That's what seems to be. And betting. You see, you know how big gambling is right now?
Oh, my God.
They got more money than Hollywood because everyone's just gambling, putting their feet on OnlyFans or doing a podcast. And that's all we got.
Well, and they all fuel each other because where do you get the money when you lose all your money gambling? Well, feet picks, baby, selling socks, selling worn socks, you know.
Yeah. So that's the new American economy.
Yeah. Guy that I do some videos with, he had a DM come through, a dude asking if he could buy some of his old shoes. And I was like, oh, my God, dude.
Yeah.
It's a whole new world. I don't know what we're going to do.
Whole new world. It's all, yeah, everything is digital. And so I guess Biden brought back some manufacturing here for the chips. Maybe that'll be good, but I don't know. I don't know what this world's going to look like. And but hopefully we figure it out. But yeah, it seems like this environment thing is getting, this is 3 years in a row right now where you're going. And then everyone keeps telling me it's supposed to be a cold winter. I'm like, that's what they said last year. And like we got like 1 week of snow and like 3 days under freezing or like a week. And that was it. I mean, when I was a kid, it was like freezing from, you know, you're up to, it's like from November, from the beginning of November all the way to like May, it was cold. And now it's like, it feels like it's spring right now. The weather's spring. And for right now, yeah, it's great. But I don't know what that means for the future.
Yeah. I mean, it's comfortable, but it's almost like a comfort you didn't earn, you know?
Yeah.
And you feel kind of bad about it, but
it's like doing coke. You feel high now and then, you know, tomorrow it's going to be really bad.
You know, you're going to be crying on your couch at 9 a.m. wanting to call your mom, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a tough one. Do you think that how do you think people are going to do it though? Really? Like, cause these things are so addicting. I feel like people like all their problems or whatever, like get dumped right into this just by scrolling. And then you just figure out either your biggest fear or you just kind of like, double down into like whatever thing here is telling you that life is okay, but it's all kind of just a lie. You know, I feel like we just got to like get outside more.
Yeah. We got to get outside. People got to go outside. The, every comedian I talked to has gotten to the point with social media specifically, right? So it's, the internet is great for many things, like listening to long form talks like this is great, or, you know, meditation apps or information or, learning something, or it's great. But social media is obviously designed to turn your brain into a mess, into like, it's made everyone into like a gambler, like the same brain chemistry as a gambler, where people going on there, you know, refreshing videos, looking how many likes they got, looking how many comments, and then you're reading comments and you're getting dopamine hits from like people you don't even know. And then people are saying bad things and then you're going, oh, I'm terrible. And then you're, it's just too much. And every comedian I've spoken to has come to the realization that it's bad. I guess they've come to the same realization as like 14 states that just filed a lawsuit against TikTok going like, hey, our mental health costs for youth are through the roof. And every kid that's coming in here is saying, you know, TikTok is screwing with their brain up. And so it's bad. Yeah, I think it's we all know it now. I think it's one of those things like cigarettes or whatever else that came out, you know, that we know at the beginning everyone was doing, it was marketing to us, and now everyone's going like, wait, this is, I feel really bad. And why do I feel bad? Oh yeah, because I was just disassociating for 6 hours in an imaginary world that's not real, and none of it's real. And my brain is all screwed and I'm like addicted, and they design it to be addictive. There was that haunting line in that that documentary about the social networks, about that guy from Facebook. It just haunted me when he said it. He goes, everyone's staring into the computer and they think they're using the computer. But what you don't know is there's a supercomputer staring back at you. It's like, nobody's more powerful than a supercomputer. There are it's just getting data on you, how long you stayed on this video, what you looked at. They know everything about you, and they're targeting you for marketing and trends and your information and location and everything, just so they can just inundate you with sales and put you in some sort of population group and market. It's just, we've all become raised and conditioned by machines, and what's missing in that is humanity and connection. So people have sacrificed connection for attention. Everyone's into attention now, and if you're trying to get attention, you're not trying to connect. And connecting happens outside. Nobody really connects on the internet. I mean, Manti Te'o had a whole fake relationship with a fat gay guy who he fell in love with, who he thought was a woman for like years. I mean, it's one of the funniest things. I mean, if that's not the best example, you know about that, right? The football player.
Yeah.
It's one of the, when you watch that documentary, you're going like, that's the internet. It's one big catfish. I mean, this kid was in love head over heels. And the whole time he was talking to just this gay guy who was just lying to him. And that's the internet.
Yeah. It's almost like that. You know, you see how it easily gets to that movie, Her. You remember that with like Scarlett Johansson? It's like all these sci-fi movies that we made in like the 80s, 90s, early 2000s. They're all just coming true. Like, I think we got to stop making sci-fi movies, dude.
We don't need to. Yeah.
It's the blueprint. You know, we got to stop like imagining that. I think just be careful. Whatever sci-fi movie you make today, it's going to happen. So make a better sci-fi movie. Make one where the world doesn't end, you know?
Yeah, yeah. You're going like, even if you do something about aliens, you're like, well, the government's told us that they're there, so that's not even a sci-fi movie anymore. Yeah, what is, it's all become reality. It's wild.
Yeah, it's wild. It is. I don't even know. How do you do it with, how do you do it sort of as a comedian? You know, like you've been, what year did you start doing comedy?
Well, I started around 2000. I quit for a while, and then I started doing it full time in 2000. And I started again in 2005-06, and then I went full time in about 2008. So I had a couple of start and stop dates. So I've been doing it for 20 plus years overall.
Yeah, and you kind of see sort of the changes over time and being a comic. It used to be, you know, you go, you work the craft, you work the door at a comedy club, you bark, do all that sort of stuff. And now it's like you just got to get a following, and then your comedy can be okay, you know, but then you can sell tickets, and then you better hope your comedy gets good or people probably won't keep buying tickets. But it's a weird dynamic of how it's changed.
Oh my God. It's completely different. It's crazy. It's crazy. A lot of good and a lot of bad. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There is, what do you think like comedy's role is in sort of like shaping culture? Have you seen that change over your time in comedy? Have you seen it change for better or worse?
I think for worse. I got to say that. I think it's just an objective observation. I think people used to watch a comedian for an hour and get the vibe. I remember Chris Rock's specials, just you could sort of feel the effect they had on the culture and just relations, tensions people had. It kind of eased everything. You could just feel it. It's people sat there and watched the whole hour. Now, you know, even when you talk to people at Netflix or whatever, nobody gets through 22 minutes. It's like 22 minutes at most, and it's everyone's watching clips, and your clip has to be sensationalized and increasingly more attention grabbing. So comedy's become, I think, a little more irrelevant in that it has an effect on the culture the way that it used to when comedians like George Carlin, and you'd watch that special and it would make you think, or just even someone who just made you laugh. You know, you sat there and you just soaked in his vibe for an hour, and you know, it was good. It was good for your brain. And now it's like this scroll thing where you're like, you don't even know who the comedian is. You're just looking at the quick, you know, quick jog and just scroll past it. You don't even, I saw it. And you just, it's just, it's disorienting. It's overwhelming. And yeah, the quality has gone down because whatever increases in quantity decreases in quality, and people are living in their own niche worlds driven by algorithms. So there's nothing that unifies us except hate.
A new choice. Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. The holiday travel rush has begun.
The TSA says they'll screen 18.3 million people starting on Tuesday. That's the projected get-out day, and 50,000 flights will take off. The agency is also urging travelers to brush up on the rules before they go, so your foods like gravy, cranberry sauce, wine, jams, all of that must be checked if it's more than 3.4 ounces.
ABC's Morgan Norwood, President-elect Trump naming key members of his new administration at a breakneck pace. 20 key posts already. Democrats in the Senate troubled that the Trump Transition Committee has not yet agreed to FBI background checks of the president-elect's picks. A higher than usual number of rocket attacks from Hezbollah into Israel today. At least 6 people injured. This on the heels of Saturday's Israeli strike in central Beirut, which killed 20 and injured 66 people. Russia is granting debt forgiveness to army recruits to bolster its ranks in Ukraine, where nearly 3 years of war have strained resources and available personnel. This is ABC News.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
The Bucks win again. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks with a 125-119 victory over the Hornets. Milwaukee had a 20-point lead, allowing Charlotte to get close. Damian Lillard had 31 points.
Like, we just got to be better about keeping our foot on people's necks. You know, you get a team down 20, and you in that stretch into the third quarter, going into the fourth. Obviously, in the NBA, with the way teams shoot threes and the pace of the game, you know, a 20-point lead isn't what it used to be.
College football, Wisconsin lost at Nebraska, 44-25. Badgers head coach Luke Fickell about Wisconsin's 10-game winning streak over the Cornhuskers coming to an end.
Yeah, I mean, it's a part of the game, unfortunately, that we've had to go through far too many times this year. And, you know, we did not play, you know, together. We did not play complimentary football today at all.
NFL, the Packers host the 49ers, a recap tonight. Women's college volleyball, the Nebraska team beating the Badgers in Lincoln in 3 straight sets. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Max Inc. on Civic Media with Mike and Wendy from Sunspot. Can you imagine the mosh pit on the bridge that could happen?
Oh, well, that's how the original series was, when they moved the camera. Whatever.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Plenty of clouds around the area today with highs reaching the upper 40s. A light southeast wind, 5 to 10. Mostly cloudy skies tonight as lows drop to the upper 30s to near 40 degrees. A little rain on Monday, highs in the mid-40s.
It's 42 at our studios.
It's the sound of a soda, considered one of the coolest things made in Wisconsin. Jolly Good has been around since the 1960s. Cryer Foods makes it in Random Lake, which is in Sheboygan County. But Cryer started as a canning company in 1913. What was being canned there? Sauerkraut, peas, beets? The answer coming up.
At Jolly Good, we believe in quality.
Soda turned into an important revenue stream when production at the canning company slowed in the colder months. So what was being canned there? Sauerkraut, peas, beets? All 3, plus juice, soups, and more. By the 1960s, Cryer quit canning and went all in on Jolly Good soda.
For flavor and value, Jolly Good's got it.
The latest resurgence of Jolly Good makes it a slice of Wisconsin for yesterday and today. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
The
Dom Salvia Show.
State Senator-elect Jody Habesh-Sinikin. What's the best way, do you think, it is to approach a difference in not just opinion, but in what we perceive as facts with those that may not be aware or don't agree with it?
First, having a conversation. Try to get an understanding of what is really bothering them and try to offer solutions at the state level or at the local level where there can be progress.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. The John and Gordy Show.
I went out to the car. And
you're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Folks, if you are just tuning in, I'm Charlie Behrens. This is the Cripes Cast, and here's my conversation with comedian Yiannis Pappas. What do you think, like, comedy's role is in sort of, like, shaping culture? Have you seen that change over your time in comedy? Have you seen it change for better or worse?
I think for worse. So comedy's become, I think, a little more irrelevant in that it has an effect on the culture the way that it used to when comedians like George Carlin, and you'd watch that special and it would make you think. Or now it's like this scroll thing where you're like, you don't even know who the comedian is. You're just looking at the quick, you know, quick joke, and you just scroll past it. You don't even, oh, I saw it. And you just, it's just, it's disorienting. It's overwhelming. And yeah, the quality has gone down because whatever increases in quantity decreases in quality, and people are living in their own niche worlds driven by algorithms. So there's nothing that unifies us except hate. I've seen that unify us, like hate, extreme disapproval of another political ideology to an extent that you didn't see before the internet. Beliefs and conspiracy theories unite people, which they usually hate the other side. I think a lot of times people vote for the candidates out of spite for the other side. Sometimes you'd be like, I don't even like this guy, but I hate her. It's like the thing that I see most unifying us is hate, which is really weird because we're not doing anything all together anymore. There's no movies everyone's seeing. There's no
news.
You know, the only thing is football. Football.
Yeah.
That's where everyone's watching, just football.
And everyone's
football
watching
and hate.
It.
Football and hate.
And more people are watching football because they got money on the line, you know?
That's kind of it. Yeah. Yeah. And some of the players too, probably.
Oh yeah. 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 Well, that's a whole thing, you know. Oh, we haven't even scratched that surface.
That's gonna happen. You're gonna see the guys using friends and proxies, you know, 3 degrees of separation to kind of try to, you know, increase their salaries, especially in football where they get you, they don't have guaranteed contracts and all that.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. We're talking about a lot of really uplifting stuff so far on this podcast. You know, like what keeps you going through all this stuff? Like what keeps you making it, not just like I don't know, giving it up, retiring, whatever. What keeps you going?
Yeah, it's I'm optimistic. I don't blame all the things we're talking about. I don't blame anyone for it. I think we're all victims to it. I think we're all struggling with it. I think everyone's trying to figure it out. I don't, I just try to understand what people are going through because I'm going through the same thing. I'm no better at it. I've done all those bad things. I've pulled over on the side of the road to continue a Facebook argument. I've made all those mistakes that everybody makes, you know? So I think we will figure it out. I think this is just the time where, like I said, to bring it back, it's just a new technology that we're now coming around to understanding needs to be used right and regulated right. And it needs to be, it's not good for you in some ways, but it's good for you in others. I mean, social media specifically, I think is bad, like cigarettes in a lot of ways, but the internet, I think overall is great. And, I think it's a good time for comedy in that way, especially live comedy, because, and I think that's why there's such a boom, is because now I think people are realizing that that's a great experience to go watch someone for an hour live. Everyone, it used to be that being on a screen was such a unique experience. You're like, oh my God, there's a comedian on a screen. He must be famous. He must be good. And everyone would watch, but now screens are so commonplace that the unique experience is actually going out and seeing someone live and, you know, being soaked in by the pauses and the the rhythm of it and the timing of it and letting someone take you on a journey and having a live night out with other people where you can hear them laugh and you're a part of that, you know, human experience. We're a social species. So that's what makes us happy. You know, happiness is being around other people, you know? So I think it's been good for comedy in that way, live comedy. I think that's why you've seen the boom. I mean, there's a real boom in people buying tickets. It's definitely gone down this year, but I think that's because of the economy and people worried about the election and all the uncertainty and inflation. But, you know, I think that'll even out. And I think, you know, maybe plays come back again. You know, people want to go out and watch a play. Like, humans always seem to go through these dark times, and then there's just, you know, there's just something about us where we just keep pushing and get through it. So I just think I'd rather think of it that way and be a part of that. Like, let's make everyone's life a little better by bringing attention to these things and making light and not judging or yelling at people about it and just sort of trying to get through this. Cause I think everyone's a little disoriented, everyone's a little like looking for meaning now because the internet does so much for us.
Yeah. I totally agree with that. I mean, I've been down a lot of those things myself, the rabbit holes or the, you know, you get really pissed at some Russian who's pretending to be from the Midwest in your comments. You know, those Russians are good at that, actually.
Yeah, they
slip
love
up
it
every now and again. But yeah, it gets them off. But I feel like I got this thing where I try to go on an hour walk every day. Which is easy for me. I don't have kids or anything. So, but every time I do it, my brain goes from feeling like it's just got a bunch of plaque on it, you know, to just coming back and being like, oh, all right, this thing, like, you just have this, like, you're like, why the f- am I so anxious? And then I go on that walk and I just come back and I'm good again. And I feel like, you know, more people would do that. That would probably be good. And then you'd be more connected to the fact that this place is heating up pretty quick, you know?
Yeah. Because you're outside and you're like, it's warm out here. Yeah.
That's another, the machines, you can see it. Like, they're doing it perfect. They're like, all right, so we'll divide them. Divide and conquer, you know, like united we stand, divided we fall. We like put the way to defeat us on like a bumper sticker, you know. So it's like we made it so easy to tell like Russia or just the robots like how to defeat humanity, and we're letting them do it, you know. So like
we are, it really is. I mean, they're, you know, it's just crazy. And you know, the social media platforms have allowed it to happen because you know, it shows more engagement. They look the other way. They're going like, oh, look at all these people. They go to the advertisers, they go to their board, and they go, look at how many people are on our platform. They're like, are they real people? And they go, don't ask that question. Look at the engagement. Look at them engaging. Look at this. This is great. These are engaged eyeballs for your product. And they go, all right, can we look at your metrics? Yeah, we have all the data right here. It's our data. Look at this. It's great. Yeah. Yeah. And it is just some farm in Russia and China, and they're just, you know, 100 million fake accounts, and they're just going nuts. I bet you every citizen of some countries just has like, that's like the government gives them a little money, just like, go with some Americans. Just like, here's 10 cents, 10 cents a month. Just have a fake profile on X and just go wild.
Russia loves doing that stuff. They've been really, really good at it and really proficient, because like they can't defeat us with their military. So the whole thing, my buddy's buddy is in the CIA, and he was saying like, you know, Russia knows they can't do it with the military. So the way they do it is social media. The way they do it is, that's why Twitter, I feel like 6 months ago, someone was looking at all the Twitter profiles and like an insane number, insane, like some like 80% or what, it was mind blowing how many of those accounts were just not real, you know? So anyways, what
I love that this is to promote my comedy shows. By the way, my comedy shows are nothing like this. I'm talking about my family and being a father, and it's all kind of light. Oh, it's more light than this, but there are some of these themes in there that I kind of sneak in the jokes, and it's fun. Yeah, it's a good time.
Where are you playing? You're coming to Milwaukee, right?
Yeah, yeah. Coming to Milwaukee, the Milwaukee Improv. And I've never been to Milwaukee. So yeah, I've only been to Madison a bunch of times, and I've never been to Milwaukee. So I'm really excited to come to Milwaukee and go to all the bathhouses that Jeffrey Dahmer went to. There's so, like a tour.
Yeah. There is actually. Yeah. I guide it. And I wear these glasses when I do.
Yeah. Okay.
I want to go.
Yeah, I want to go get a hot dog with the special sauce. What's it called? The secret sauce or something?
Oh, so the stadium sauce. Yeah. You go to Brewers game at the Brewers are in town. They got the stadium sauce there. You got to get a brat. So, yeah, I'll give you sort of your Milwaukee 101. You got to go. We have a Bronze Fonz down on the Riverwalk. Arthur Fonzarelli. The Fonz, obviously, Happy Days took place in Milwaukee. They didn't shoot it here. They shot it somewhere in L.A. But anyways, we have a bronze statue of the Fonz, which I think is pretty damn cool. Some people are, you know, you always have those super hipsters that are like, that doesn't represent us. I think it's pretty cool. And so that's there. We got a great art museum here. Which is sweet. The Bucks are going to be probably playing a game around the time you're in town. Pabst, Miller, all the beers, Schlitz, you know, you can go do brewery tours till you're blue in the face. So are you a drinker? Do you like beer?
Yeah, I like a brew here and there. Yeah, and all that stuff. I'm going to do all that stuff. I can never go to a game. Basketball's, you know, my favorite sport. And the only time I've ever been able to go to a game was once in Salt Lake City. I caught the middle of the third and fourth quarter because I just ran over after my shows and was able to catch a third, because it's always at the same time as the games. They're at night. So it's like, I would love to go to a Bucks game. I would, especially since Giannis is, you know. I mean, thanks to that guy, my Google ranking, I used to be pretty high up on the Giannis. Now I'm like way down. There's like some sculptor who's also a famous Giannis. I mean, it's like he has dominated my Google search.
Has there been any like positive back and forth, you know, between it? Or is it just, has he just taken, I mean, you guys spell it different.
Thank God he spells it different. Yeah. If he spelled it the same way, I mean, I'd be obsolete. So he does spell it different. So that helps a little bit. But yeah, it's so funny to hear. I'll be just like watching the game or TNT, and I'll hear Giannis, and I'll be like, "That's me," and I'm like, "Oh no, that's a famous Giannis. I always had a dream of making that name in America mean something, and now it'll just always be, oh, like the basketball player. I'm like, yeah, like the greatest basketball player on the planet. Yeah, it's like being named Michael Jordan. As your whole first name. It's like, because everyone always just calls him Giannis because his last name is too hard to pronounce.
Right.
So it's basically like my name's like Michael Jordan. And so it's like.
Well, at least it's not like, you know, Michael Bolton, like in the office space. You remember that? Yeah. I mean, it's positive, you know? So at least you're not fighting it like, no, not like that. You know?
Right.
Do you ever get to cities like early and go, hang out for a day or anything like that, or usually one city to the next kind of thing?
Yeah. Nowadays, cause I got two daughters, like, you know, I go day of show cause I just, I just want to spend the least amount of time away from them, but I'm excited to do this stuff in Milwaukee cause I've never been there. And a lot of the cities I've been to before. So I just go do the shows. Friday, Saturday, and just try to get back. You know, it's when you have daughters, our kids now, when you're a comic, it's like the road just, it's, you know, you don't look at it the way you used to. I used to like, I love being away, and I still love doing the shows and being away, but I do miss my family. And so I try to get back as soon as I can. Yeah.
How old are your kids?
I got a 4 and a 1-year-old.
Oh man. So, yeah. Those are special years there too. I get that.
It's special years, and I don't want to miss a lot of it. And, I'm surrounded. I talk about it all in my act. It's all about just being a father with girls and I'm just surrounded by estrogen. It's just crazy. It's really like, it's a lot. It's a lot.
How is that, having kids? How's that changed you as a comic?
Oh, everything. It changes your whole life. makes you self less self-obsessed, self-absorbed. Comedians are very self absorbed. We're always like listening, but also going like thinking of jokes and thinking of ourselves and our careers and stuff. And it's a total shift from that into just thinking about your kids. And yeah, you think a little more about like, what is my daughter going to see? And, you know, it matures you, you know, it just sort of matures you and, makes you grow up, which, you know, I think in our culture, nobody really wants to anymore because things are so good. We're like, I don't want to grow up and things are so good for me right now. I can't start a family. I got a Twitch account that just is starting to get hot. I don't have the time to think about kids.
Yeah,
you know, so it's hard, but it's rewarding. So it's both, but it is hard. Yeah, like, you know, when J.D. Vance talks about the cat women or whatever, he's like, these women aren't having kids. I'm like, I kind of understand why they don't. It is a lot. Yeah, it's a lot. Like anyone who chooses not to have kids, I'm like, I get it.
What's been like the hardest part that like you didn't expect?
That you don't get a chance to have a moment for yourself until they go to sleep. And then when they go to sleep, you're too tired to do anything. So it's basically no break from work. That's the thing. I could say that right away. It's just you wake up and you're working. You're a dad. You're taking care of people. You get them to school and you're like, you know, my 4-year-old's going to pre-K now. So it's like, and then I come home and my 1-year-old's like, you know, eating crayons and I'm like keeping her alive. And, you know, and you just are constantly working. And there's just no time for you, which makes you value whatever you do. Like when they're asleep it's just like, it's the best. And then you're like, oh, I can do something. And then you're like, I just want to lay here. I can't move. I can't do anything. And then you're next thing, you know, you're asleep and you just, so there's just no time for yourself. And then you go and you work. And then you're doing comedy and you're like, all right, now I got to make these people feel happy. It's like, what about me? Where's me? Who's paying attention to me? So it's a 24-hour, 7 days a week job that doesn't stop. So the relentlessness of it.
Yeah. What's been like the best thing, the thing that you didn't imagine?
Oh, God, just the love you have for them. The love is unimaginable and how they melt you and yeah, just make you more empathetic, more understanding, more patient. It seeing the world through their eyes, it brings you back to your childhood, gets you in touch with sort of the sillier part of you. And, you know, just that it's not all about you anymore, which is a freeing thing. It's because it's not about any of us. And so your ego takes the blow that it needs to kind of free you. And it's peace. There's a lot more peace in my life with kids. It's ironic because you think, death is the scary thing and impermanence is the scary thing. But when you just have this radical acceptance about, oh, yeah, I have all this stuff that I love, especially now, my daughters, I love them so much. It's crazy to think about like, oh my God, one day I'm going to leave before them. But then that frees you up in some weird way to understanding that it's not about you. And that takes a pressure off. And then you also understand we all die and we all have this experience. So we're all part of this thing together. And there's some peace that comes with that. Just knowing that we're part of something bigger together. We're all part of the same thing. And you don't have any control over it. And that's kind of a good thing because I think a lot of anxiety comes from like trying to control things you can't control and worrying about things you have no control over. I'm being redundant, but you just give it, you just accept. There's like a level of acceptance to like what this is about. Like, all right, I'm here. And then my daughters are going to be here and it's part of this bigger thing. We're all part of it. And we're all kind of in it together. And so you just feel more connected to what life is. And you just have more of a radical acceptance of what reality is. And that ironically doesn't it's ironic because it's scary. You go, oh my God, there's so much suffering and we die and but for some reason, when you really radically accept it, you're like free because we're all in it together and we're all connected. And I don't know. I mean, it's like, yeah, I guess having kids is like taking ayahuasca.
I've never done it.
But yeah. I've heard.
Yeah. Well, you do. You talk about you've already said like things like radical acceptance and the therapy stuff. You do therapy?
Yeah, I do therapy.
Do you like it? Do you think that helps your look at me. I'm already saying, do you think that helps your comedy? I'm already looking for how does that help the word spoken like a true workaholic?
Comedians are, you know, they obviously to do comedy, there's something you missed.
Yeah.
You try to get strangers to like you and approve of you. So it used to be, I remember all comedians were like, I don't want to do therapy because I don't want anything to make me less funny. I like that I'm angry when I'm not supposed to be angry. But I found that has changed too. Like, I don't know anyone who is not in therapy now. All the comedians I know, I can't even, yeah, there's just a change in perspective on it. And I think it helps. It just helps. I don't think it hurts. It helps. I mean, that would be weird if comedy was the only profession where not being well helped you, you know?
Right.
So right. I think that's just a big lie about that. And I think we all bought it for a while.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think it's a good thing. I think like I've done it for a while and I think it's just good to get the like your brain is the one thing that you take everywhere, you know? And so if you can be good wherever you go, I mean, that's better than having some souped up car, you know, that has like ass warmers on the seat or whatever. Like if you're 100%. Always, you know, like if you can be the same you in a airplane or a tree stand or like walking through a crowded city, like that's a good way to be. You can figure 100%.
That out. Yeah. 100%.
You also find like all these like you go in thinking like you got a unique problem, thinking that you're somehow special. And then they are like, oh, yeah, you have anxiety. And you're like, no, I mean, I got something more special than anxiety. And then they send you like a YouTube video to watch and you come back and you're like, yeah, I got some pretty crippling anxiety. So
yeah.
What are we going to do about that? You know?
Yeah. And other people have it too. And you know, anytime you're comforted by the fact that you're not alone and every other people do it, there's just something that feels good about that. You're like, oh yeah, I'm dealing with what other people are dealing with. I'm not alone with this. And you just, I don't know. Yeah. Cause we're a social species. Like that. We're just not meant to be alone. We're not cheetahs, you know?
Right.
Yeah, we're wolves. We need to be in packs and around each other and socializing. And
yeah, we're even more than that. We're like, you know, the apes or whatever the first humans were. We're just looking around for saber-toothed tigers, you know.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
now,
yeah.
Now that there are no saber-toothed tigers. And almost not even real tigers back to the climate change. But you know, you say that and you're always looking for it. And if there's not a saber-tooth tiger, you're going to invent one so quick.
Yes.
And that's where the, you know, disaster baiting about whatever issues going on in society or like some person who said something to you, we just make mountains out of molehills. We make saber-tooth tigers out of like little house cats. You know,
yeah, and that's like it goes back to what we started talking about. We have these like prehistoric brains in these modern times, and we have the only way to catch up is to look inward and figure it out and just sort of coach yourself into understanding that and dealing with it.
Yeah. That's it for this week, folks. But if you want to listen to my full conversation with Giannis Pappas, check out the Cripes Cast anywhere you get your podcasts.
So roll out the barrel and get the band brewing. Life's got you down. Just keep her moving. It's on Wisconsin. The Badgers say it's the old Wisconsin Jubilee.
You know, sometimes when you're ice fishing, you put your foot into walleye hole and go ass over tea kettle and you think you're done. No. Gotta keep her moving.
Welcome to Madison's Real News and Great Conversation, 92.7 WMDX. John Peterson and Gordy Young.
On our next show, John and Gordy will attempt to not cry over the dismantling of democracy.
The John and Gordy Show, weekday mornings 6 till 8. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Iron Mike Tyson and Jake Paul, the YouTuber. They're likely, this is just me wildly speculating, might have been a wee bit of a gentleman's agreement. Try to make it look good, but nobody's actually going to try to knock anybody out.
I actually put a bet on that, and I bet it for Jake Paul to win, just because I knew it was staged. Mike Tyson was going to do what he's going to do. Clearly obvious he could have knocked him out. He just didn't want to do it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or this is 92.7 WMDX Columbus, Madison's home for real news and great conversation. A Civic Media station.